words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today.
Oh, sinner, bow down with the load of sin. Come to the cross, come to the cross. In Christ is redemption, new life within. Come and be justified, 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 justified wholly through Christ. The cross is the fountain for every need. Come and be justified.
With our Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we are continuing our studies today concerning Paul's further entreaty. Here in chapter 2, he points the saints to God and His glory. Paul is dealing with a reproof of the local church for the open strife in their midst. This is chapters 1 through 4. His first entreaty in chapter 1 concerned Christ and His cross. His second entreaty in chapter 2 concerns God and His glory. His third entreaty in chapter 3 concerns the Lord and His laborers. It is a fearful entreaty as he looks toward the judgment seat of Christ. Paul's final entreaty in chapter number 4, he points the saints to the Master and His ministry. And then he goes on to deal with open sin of immorality, fornication in the church. But today we continue our thoughts in chapter 2, just after a word of prayer. Our Father, we come now in Jesus' name. Thank you for your loving kindness, for your tender mercies, for your everlasting truth. Thank you for saving a sinner like me. Help those who listen today to be edified and to be strengthened in their walk with God. I pray for the sinner that might tune in, that they would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of life, to be their everlasting Redeemer, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We bless the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for who He is, what He has done, and all He means to me. In Jesus' name I now pray. Amen and amen. So let's begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. In these first 3 verses, we see Paul and his declaration concerning the testimony of God. The gospel of Christ had been preached among them. Paul exhibited compassion when he came to the Corinthians, as recorded in Acts 18. He was steadfast to serve, steadfast to speak, and steadfast to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had but one mission when he was in Corinth, I determined not to know anything among you, he said. That is, he came to declare the gospel in a singular way. One thing on his heart, one thing on his mind, to declare the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Since he had one mission, he had one message, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Preachers, we must remain resolved to stay focused on Christ and the gospel in our preaching and teaching. Oh yes, we should declare the whole counsel of God. But among sinners, in missionary work, there should be a special emphasis upon the gospel. Among the church folk, who may not know Christ, mind you, for there are children growing up in the midst. There are those that have sat on pews, but yet never truly been born again. We must be emphasizing the saving message, the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified, buried, and risen again. Paul's one mission was to proclaim Christ. Therefore, his one message was Christ and his cross. Let the minister fade away into the shadows of Jesus Christ. For it is Christ who died for the sins of the world, not the minister. So let me be but the servant, and let Christ be the Savior. Let the preacher be but the minister, and Christ be the Master. He died for the sins of the world. It is he who was buried. It is he who rose again the third day from the dead. Was Paul crucified for the Corinthians? Absolutely not. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 13. The cause of Christ must remain the preacher's priority. The preaching of Christ and him crucified is what God honors and what he uses to save men. We have the preacher's declaration. We have the preacher's determination. Now we come to verse number 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. This is how God had worked among the Corinthians with his own mighty power. God's presence was demonstrated before these Corinthians. There is first a demonstration of weakness in the preacher. Paul was weak, fearful, and trembling. You recall his circumstances, Acts 18, 9 and 10. And no doubt, there was much fear on the inside of Paul. But may we, as preachers of the gospel, give ourselves completely to depending upon the Lord, that we, though we experience a physical weakness, a petrifying fear, and even a personal and physical trembling on the inside, let us learn by this to deny our flesh. For in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Romans 7, verse 18. I claim it for my own, though it was the words of the Apostle Paul. It describes me. It describes you. We have nothing in and of ourselves to glory of. Yet, let us glory in our feebleness, in our infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. The Holy Ghost of God can work through a man that recognizes his own weakness. One man in the Biblical Illustrator gave down 3 conditions for successful preaching. He says, and I quote, if a preacher wishes to be successful, he must, number 1, deny himself and exalt Christ. He must, number 2, feel himself weak, yet strong. He must, number 3, ignore the human and magnify the divine. End quote. This man had it right. Albert Barnes said of Paul in Acts 18, 9 and 10, it was in such circumstances and with such feelings that the Lord met him to encourage him. And it was when other ministers feel thus that the promises of the gospel are inestimably precious. We may add that it is then, and then only, that they are successful. Notwithstanding all of Paul's fears, he was successful there in Corinth. And it is commonly, perhaps always, when ministers go to their work conscious of their own weakness, burdened with the weight of their message, diffident of their own powers, and deeply solicitous about the results of their labors, that God sends down His Spirit and converts sinners to God. Will we look to the energy of the flesh where there's only weakness? Or will we depend upon the Holy Spirit of God where there is only power? The preacher's demonstration of weakness. But then there is the demonstration of power in the preaching. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Here we learn that when a man yields himself to the Spirit of God, when he maintains the Word of God for his preaching material, the Spirit of the Lord will come alongside, manifest himself in power and unction during the preaching. Paul's speech, Paul's preaching, lacked the use of persuasive words which man's wisdom teacheth, yet he relied on the penetrating power of God's words and God's Spirit. And so Paul's preaching was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. There is the power of God that pulls down the wisdom of men. In Christ Himself, men will find redemption, and the Holy Spirit of God comes alongside the preacher, transforms him into an instrument that God can use, and he makes the message of the gospel live in the hearts of the hearers, and he convicts them, brings them light and understanding through the preached Word of God. And so men see themselves lost and in need of the Savior. To God be the glory, great things He has done. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.